The tragic death of a 17-month-old boy left unattended in a daycare van in Dorchester this week has prompted a review of state and city laws and regulations meant to prevent such tragedies. The state says the van driver didn't follow certain rules, and the case has also brought to light deficiencies in daycare licensing. WBUR's Lynn Joliker reports.
At 18 Floyd Street in Dorchester, teddy bears, plastic cars, and candles mark the scene where 17-month-old Gabriel Josh Kazir Pierre died. He'd been left for 7 hours in a school transport van during Monday's hot weather. The owner of the van company, Gloria Feliz, lives and runs a daycare at the Floyd Street address. Her attorney, Isaac Perez, says she's overcome with sorrow.
The entire family is very traumatized. They're in a state of shock.
2 miles away from Floyd Street on Trinity Terrace, there's no answer at the home-based daycare center where the driver was supposed to bring Gabriel. The state agency that licenses daycares, the Department of Early Education and Care, says this one just opened in July. According to a published interview with Gabriel's mother, the owner didn't call her to inquire about him not arriving that morning. The school van driver, Luis Matos, who lives with Feliz, allegedly didn't check the vehicle to make sure it was empty before leaving it for the day. These are two of the weaknesses exposed by Gabriel's death in the system of state-licensed home-based daycares and the transportation companies that service them.
We are all beside ourselves with grief.
Wayne Izaguirre is president and CEO of Associated Early Care and Education. It's a nonprofit that contracts with a network of daycare centers and daycare bus companies to serve 600 children in Boston. Associated's network includes the van company and both daycare centers thrust into the spotlight after the tragic death this week. Izaguirre says one fairly quick response the organization is considering is requiring van services that contract with them to have a special buzzer system.
There is an automatic buzzer that goes off that's in the back of the van. And so therefore it forces the person to walk to the back of the van to turn off the buzzer. It's a way, obviously, of which to force the driver to have to actually check every seat in order to get to the back of the van.
The van companies and drivers have to be licensed by the Registry of Motor Vehicles. And the RMV already has a detailed safety policy in place, says Early Education and Care Commissioner Sherry Killens.
Requires that attendance is taken when children get on the bus and that attendance is taken when children get off of the transportation. And finally, when the end of the route comes, the driver is supposed to go inside of the transportation and make sure that all the children are removed. So clearly something failed.
And it failed in the worst possible way. Killen says she can't speculate as to whether many other drivers may be failing to check their vans after their routes. But she is now involved with a special committee assembled at the direction of the governor to review the tragedy and recommend possible changes to the system.
I mean, clearly a child, a youngest citizen, was lost. A family is without their son. And we're going to look at every policy, every procedure to make sure there's nothing more we can do.
As far as notifying a parent when his or her child doesn't arrive at daycare, the state currently requires notification only on the third day of absence and only for kids who receive state daycare subsidies. So Gabriel's daycare provider didn't violate any laws or policies. But Wayne Izaguirre says his organization would probably support a requirement for daycare operators to call on the first absence.
You know, the parent would have to understand and agree that I'm going to get called every day if my child doesn't show up. It's just not a mindset that exists in early childhood, but I think it's clearly something for us to consider.
Meanwhile, there is the immediate case of Gloria Feliz and her home-based daycare. Remember, she owns the van company in question. Luis Matos, the driver, is her live-in boyfriend. Gabriel did not attend her daycare, but after police responded to his death, city inspectors found a host of electrical and building code violations at her home-based facility, as outlined at an inspectional services hearing yesterday.
Failure to provide a smoke detector or carbon monoxide.
Though licensed by the state to operate a daycare in her home, Felice never obtained the proper city permits to convert the basement into that daycare. The Inspectional Services Department upheld a condemnation order at the close of the hearing where several mothers whose children Feliz watches came to support her. Feliz's attorney, Isaac Perez.
It sounded ominous, but they're very minor violations. It's a very safe facility. Nobody felt unsafe. It's very clean. You probably could go to any property and find violations like this. It just so happens that, you know, it's under the glare of the spotlight because of the tragedy.
Felice was licensed by the state to run a daycare. So why didn't the state know she hadn't obtained proper permits and inspections from the city? Boston's Assistant Inspectional Services Commissioner Daryl Smith says it's because the city and state don't cross-check such information.
The state, for home daycares, and that's what this is, and that's what they have a permit for, there's no requirement.
Should that change?
Should it change? I don't know that. We'd have to sit down, as we are going to sit down with the state and try to review it and try to see how we can strengthen it.
The newly formed state panel is tasked with reviewing all policies to try to prevent such a tragedy from happening again. It will present its recommendations on October 11th. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Lynn Joliker.